in your love to those around us. Yes, Lord, we've been, Pastor Dave's been teaching on that and just reaching out, just our focus on evangelism, and just want to pray that that would really be put in our hearts, Lord, more and more, those around us that need you. So, Lord, we just pray that you would work that in our hearts, Lord, to bring revival personally in us, and Father, revival into our nation, our region. And Lord, I just want to pray that, Lord, there's so much happening out and so fast it seems in the world today, but we pray that you would continue to expose and shake down the evil in the world, Father, and to sift it out and send revival into our hearts individually and again to our region and our nation. Oh God, have your way. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to just be with us in a special way this service. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear what you would say to us and how you would minister to us. Anoint our brother Dave as he brings the message to us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, and welcome. Well, we got some visitors today. The Williams, the Dehar clan. Yes, ladies, Lord, we're just glad that everybody is able to make it. And there's a bunch of people probably still traveling, summertime. And Judy's back. Yeah. Been through quite an ordeal, so we continue to pray for you. And Dean and Cherry, so amen. Well, let's go through some of the things that are coming up. You can find most of that and get our nifty little one-page bulletin's got some colorful information on it. Back to school is coming up. Oh, don't want to think about that, do we? But it's a good time to get school supplies for the Christmas, Operation Christmas Child boxes. So that's the reason that's on there. We got an end of summer fellowship. Got some pictures of food on the back. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I don't know that we got people signing up yet for that, but it's a couple weeks away, just a couple weeks away. So that's our picnic right here at the pavilion, and that's on the 28th. And regular weekly activities are going on. We have the men's Bible study, 6 o'clock on Monday, and the prayer meeting here at the church at 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. So I just want to encourage you to be part of that. And last special public service announcement for you guys. The men's bathroom is still under construction over here, but it is scheduled to be finished up this week. We got a bunch more stuff in. The boxes are outside there for the rest of the pieces, I guess. But just for now, for this Sunday, if you need a restroom facility, guys, you have to go into the pastor's office, work your way back there. And that's all the practical stuff I think we need to announce. So if I could have a couple of guys here, maybe Eric and Dean, would you mind coming up? We'll grab the offering here. We'll pray over that. I'll meet you in the back. Amen. Lord, thank you for your provision. Lord, your faithfulness that we sung about today. You are great and faithful and our provider. So, Lord, we just pray that as we give our gifts and tithes and return these things to you, Father, all that belongs to you anyway, Father, that you will in turn provide all that we need. And we pray your wisdom, Lord, and the funds that we receive for this body. And we just ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
I still Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it sounds like I'm already on. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for making the time on a beautiful, gorgeous summer day to come to the house of the Lord and rejoice and be here. So appreciate that. Your husband is gone. I was about to call you up. We're going to have Dean and Sherry come in just a moment. Thank you to those of you who have been praying for me for the last week or so. Some of you know and some of you may not know that my back went really, really out, super out. Almost 2 weeks now, Monday, I couldn't walk for a couple of days. And, I sort of could walk like a 95-year-old man. And, typically that happens to me on occasion. I was working on a project in our house, and it went out, and really, really went out. And the prayers of the saints, thank you so much. By Wednesday, I was starting to move again. And report today that I feel pretty good. I'm really, really getting there. I would say I'm 80-85%. I'm trying not to pick. It was really hard having grandchildren here this weekend and not be able to pick them up. Like, they're like, Papa, pick me up. I said, I can't. But we got to have fun with them anyway. And my little grandson, Weston, how much does he weigh now? He's a year old, just turned a year, and he's almost, is he 40 pounds? Oh, he's a bruiser. You pick him up and it's like, whoa. Yeah, so, and I will say that next week our brother Tom Brazell will be sharing in the service. Very grateful for that. And our sister Shay will be leading worship. I will not be here because I have another lovely surgical procedure to go in for. On Thursday. It's not cancer. I'm okay. It's not life-threatening, but it's something that I have to have done, and it'll put me out of commission for just a little bit. But it is positive. It's something that'll be helpful. But you can pray. I will take your prayers and believe God that will go easy and without a hitch. But I will not be here, I don't think. Next weekend. I don't think so. I want to encourage you. I try not to be really political from the pulpit, but I do want to encourage you. We have coming up August 23rd, we have special elections. And if it says that the authorities that are over us are placed there by God, but you know what? You have a chance to have a say. And I can't from here tell you who to vote for, but I can tell you that about 60% of Christians in our country do not vote in the elections. 60% of Christians do not vote in the elections. Go and vote your faith. Go and vote your faith. And I would encourage you, if you go on, New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms has a page. It is a nonpartisan, gives every side of the spectrum, but you can see every candidate that's running and what they believe and what they stand for. But I would encourage you in a couple of things. Number one, stand for life. Amen. Stand for life. And you can look and read about all of that, but I want to encourage you, be someone who votes your faith. And God will use that. I'd like to invite Dean and Cherry to come up. They have some very exciting and a little sad, but very exciting news to share with us. So come on up, guys. And I'll make sure this is up and running. Hello. Yep. All right. Come on up.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when I think or we think about God's goodness upon our lives, you know, we really get excited to tell our stories. And today we're going to share like a short testimony of God's miracles in our lives. So this is just one, and it's a major one. So it's about employment. Okay. So God's love won't stop, and His love flows forever. His love is like a mighty river, okay, and it won't stop. Okay. Sometime June this year, my position at the school, like where I used to work, was degraded to a part-time, okay, without benefits, no insurance. So I was worried about what's gonna happen to us, okay? And you know how hard it is to find a job here in this county, okay? So I've been coming back and forth here at the church, and Pastor Dave actually had a prophetic vision. He just told us, you know, you'll find a job. You know, it's going to be easy. They always need teachers, okay? But deep in my heart, I know, I mean, I trust the Lord, but as a human, you know, you feel like, you know, anxious. Yeah, I know, but, you know. And that time, we were scheduled to go to the Philippines. So we haven't been home for 4 years. So I haven't seen my mom for 4 years. So we were like anxious, you know, to go home. At the same time, I was thinking, oh, well, when I get back, I don't have work. Okay. So 3 weeks before our flight, I started sending out like applications. Okay. But in between my like readings, like in the Bible, so I read, you know, and it says, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. I think that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I thought that, you know, with this verse, okay, before I open up any job engine search or job search engine, I should always seek first, you know, the kingdom of God. And I started with a prayer, okay? I started with a prayer asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom to guide me and Dean in the process, okay? So I sent applications, and thank God I received 4 rejections right away that week, okay? So I said, there's 6 more who have not responded. And, okay, so I decided, Lord, okay, I entrust to you everything. I surrender, we surrender to you. In the meantime, I'll just have, we'll have a good time with the family, so in the Philippines. So we went, okay. So after 2 weeks, while we were there, I received an email from, well, 2 emails, in fact, from 2 academies in Pennsylvania, one from Pittsburgh and one from Lititz. Okay. So both schools are really good schools. And so the first academy who interviewed me was Sewickley Academy. And after like an hour of interview. They scheduled me again for another interview. And imagine that there's a 12-hour difference between the United States and the Philippines. So you could imagine me like having interviews at 5 o'clock in the morning there, okay? And had to put on makeup and fix my hair, you know, it was really hard, you know, to focus and talk about like teaching methodology, you know, stuff like that. And then, okay, so I had to wait. They said, oh, you have to wait for another interview. Okay. So another email came that's from, Linden Hall. It's, boarding school. For girls, it's the oldest girls' school in the United States. It was established in 1746. So I was interviewed by the headmistress at the same time, like 6 a.m. Okay, so 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then, so after the, you know, it was a good like interview, and so she said, okay, we'll schedule you for another interview, probably next week. And then the next day, I receive an email that she offered me the job right away. Okay, so that is really a miracle. Okay, so I was shocked, but of course, shocked in a positive way. So I told Dean about it, and that week we decided we are going to relocate to Lititz because it's a full-time job, and I'll be teaching Spanish from grades 7 to 12. And one more miracle about the interview was when I asked her, so is this a contractual position? Because, well, ever since I came here, like 5 years ago, and every time I apply for a job, it was always contractual. I need to renew yearly. So I'm used to that. So, and she said, what do you mean contractual? This is forever. Really? Said, I was like, deep in my heart, oh my good Lord, am I really hearing the right thing? Is this okay? So, in the process, so we continually ask the Lord for wisdom, and we trust Him that He will lead us the way. So we have a house here in Wellsville, so it's going to be like really a whirlwind. It was a whirlwind decision, but with the guidance of the Lord. And then we were back on the 4th of August, and then I had to report on the 11th. So we haven't even recovered from a 48-hour jet lag from the Philippines. You see, like the flight from the Philippines to Doha, Qatar, it's 9.5 hours flight. From Doha, Qatar to JFK, that's 14.5 hours flight. And then from JFK to Buffalo, another 2 hours. So it was really a very exhausting flight. And then when we got here, we were between unpacking, you know, from that trip and packing again for the next trip, because I needed to report like Thursday last week. I reported to the school. And we are really grateful to the Lord for His goodness. And as I was reading, like the Bible, so I read that God promised us that He will always lead the way. And in Psalm 25, 12, he says, "Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them the ways they should choose." And also in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, he says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." I learned that we do not simply choose our path or vocations in life. So we are always or led to them by Jesus. Okay. However, okay, we must be open to hearing from God what He is calling us to do. And God does not simply leave us to our devices. Rather, He guides and steers us in all our ways. So, we are deeply touched and forever grateful to God's goodness and faithfulness. And, am I monopolizing everything here? Would you like to?
The only thing I'll say. Okay, I'm the husband, I'm retired, and I'm along for the ride here. So... But we're looking forward to it. We're going to miss everyone here, but we don't intend to break sever connections or anything. We want to keep in touch with everybody here, too. So we're looking forward to it, and we praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And the only thing I can say is your miracle is coming, okay? So... I believe that your miracle is coming. Okay, so we thank and praise God for His goodness, and you will always be in our hearts and in our prayers, and you're always welcome. You know, like to visit us in Lititz, and we will be coming back and forth.
You better.
Okay. So thank you so much.
Yeah. If you don't get to sit down yet.
Oh, no.
You don't get to sit down yet. We want to send them off with God's blessing. If you would like to come and pray with us, let's come now and let's pray for this couple, that for God's blessing as they go.
Yeah, she'll be going next week.
I'll be going next week, Wednesday.
To stay.
Staying in the dorm for a month. But we're officially moving in our new home on the 15th of September.
Amen. So come if you like, and we'll pray. And Dean shared that he's just along for the ride, but Dean has never been along for the ride at the church. Dean's never been along for the ride. He's always been part and parcel of all that's gone on, and Dean has been just such a valuable member of the body of Christ here, and we're going to miss both of them a lot.
Thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and pray as you feel led. Thank you. 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 Father, I pray that you would guide them, that you would continue to draw them closer in the marriage with them. Lord, that you would feel underneath the big man. Amen. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, after the church. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that dealing with not only the time of excitement and changes, but Lord, we're dealing with details. And Lord, I pray that you will, give them grace and also give them direction with each of the details. So the right person will come for whatever's happening from their top here, as they're deciding what is being practiced, what is staying, what is going. Lord, that you'll give them, you'll allow them to be on the same page with that. And Lord, just every detail that you should take care of between now and when they are removed, that Lord will be doing that. And Lord, we pray for a good body for them to be connected with their.
Mother, thank you for the wonderful news that you've
thank you for those many years of being in our nursing home together. When I was called for a meeting, we can do it again, he said, because we do it another month. And I kept telling you how weird the end was taking it, and that I knew the Lord would close it when the Lord, you know, was time to close it, and that would happen. Father, I just pray blessings over them. I thank you for the willingness to serve you and go where you need to tell them to go. And I'm not really losing seeing as a friend. Stand online all the time. The Lord just blessed them and gave them
Thank you,
Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, and just the way you have moved, Lord, it seemed so suddenly, but Lord, you put it all together
at
the time that they needed it. And so we just pray that you'd continue to go before Dean and Cherry, Lord, as we've been praying for every detail about what to take with them and just getting the details settled about the house and the right person coming to buy the one here, Father, and just the right things to fall into place, Father. Thank you for the place that you've shown and opened up for them to move into, Father. That in itself was just such a miracle also, Father. And Lord, I just think about a long time ago when we came here, there was a hole for us, Lord, to come into, so to speak. And Father, there's a hole where you want to plant them in a church down there. And I just pray that you reveal it to them and just make it real and set them in that place, Father, with your loving hand in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for this man. And God, the hallmark of Dean's life is his faithfulness.
Amen.
Lord, Dean has been a faithful man, and quietly, but quietly faithful, and he has stood as a pillar. Lord, you made him a pillar in the house of God, Lord, and all that he has been willing, in so many ways willing to serve, Lord. His heart has been always open, and when we need somebody, Gene has always said, I'll help, I'll do this, oh God, I pray that you would reward Dean for his faithful service to you.
Yes.
He has been a faithful man, Lord. Oh God, I thank you for him. I pray that as they go, that you would enable him to use that gifting where they land, Father. That Lord, your word says, a faithful man, who can find? But God, Dean has been a faithful man. And Lord, we thank you for him. I pray that you bless him. And for Cherry, Cherry, as we're praying, I'm seeing you. The Lord's showing me you, and you're looking at lots of little books. I saw you opening little books, lots and lots of little books. And the Lord showed me every one of those little books is a young lady's heart. And God is going to open young women's hearts to you. And you're going to be able to speak the word of the Lord into their lives. Father, do it. Open those hearts and give our sister the word of the Lord to speak into these young women who need to hear from you. And they can hear your voice through your servant. Bless this couple, Lord. Bless them as they go and cover every detail in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You know, the really good thing is that in heaven there will be no goodbyes. I hate goodbyes. I really do. I hate goodbyes. Oh, but as Dean said, it's not, and certainly in the body of Christ, it's never goodbye forever. It never is. Cherry, I'm curious, how many different languages do you speak?
Four.
That's what I thought. Do you hear her, how good her English is? And her English is second language, right? Your Philippine was your first language, would be your first language. And she's teaching Spanish, and she speaks beautiful English. What other language do you speak?
I speak Filipino, and I speak three of the Filipino languages.
Oh.
And then I speak like both fluent Spanish, English, and then I can also translate Portuguese and Bahasa Indonesia. Then I will be teaching actually. It's a school. It's an international school. It's got 130 students only, but with 30 nationalities. So most of my students will be East Asian. They learn Spanish. So learning Spanish as their third or fourth language.
Wow.
So they got me in because I speak Spanish, which is my third language.
Okay. So you're brilliant. You're brilliant. We get it. but do you hear that God has opened up the world right there? We had one of Gary's sons, his fiance, I guess they're married now. Maybe they just got married. In a situation much like yours, she teaches, I think, in Rochester area, but she speaks all these languages, and she gets kids from all over the world, and she speaks the gospel to them. It's like she's a missionary, and she doesn't have to go anywhere. it's amazing. It's amazing. Amen. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. It's a wonderful testimony, and we believe that God is going to use you guys in a great way there. So we've been sharing on evangelism for many weeks, and honestly, I'm going to tell you, I have really started to struggle with it. I thought, boy, God, I've shared enough on evangelism. It's time to move on to something else. And this week in particular, I prayed, and I said, God, I don't have any sense of what I'm supposed to speak on this week. And usually I get a pretty good sense. Not after, and I got nothing. And I'm praying, and we actually went and visited my sister down in New Jersey, 5-6 hour drive, and I'm praying all the way down, and I get nothing. And usually the Lord is very faithful, and all the way up, I got nothing. And I got home, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I hope that this helps you in your hearing from God, because God's silences are very telling. I got home and I said, oh God, I'm supposed to speak on evangelism again, aren't I? And I sat down and the Lord just opened it all up. And there it was. But he wouldn't give me anything else. I mean, he didn't even say, hey, I told you, nothing. That made me a very happy person for several hours. Not happy, I should say. But God knows, and his silences are very, very telling. So, amen. So I want to encourage you today to, as we have, a key in evangelism, in reaching souls. And you know what? When they talk about in industry about if you're going to sell your product, what's your main product? What's the benefit? What's the thing? Our main product is to introduce people to Jesus Christ. That is our main mission of everything. Bring the gospel to people. And I want to encourage you that it starts with prayer. Prayer. If you will faithfully pray for God to give you opportunities to share the gospel, he will answer that prayer. And I have this amazing testimony to share with you, and it is amazing. And if I wasn't really familiar with the source and felt like it was, wow, I really know that this is real, I would think, that can't even be real. But it is, and I can pretty much attest that this is what happened. This was a lady, her name was Maria Lourdes. March of 1973, she was 19 years old, young lady. She had committed her life to Christ on the first night they had an evangelistic crusade where she was. Bernhard Johnson, I don't know if you've heard of him. He had an evangelistic crusade in Porto Alegre, Brazil. And she gave her heart to the Lord one night at that crusade. And then the next night, she went up and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And on her first Sunday morning back, ever going to church, that Sunday she went to a church. The pastor's sermon was on evangelism. He was talking about sharing your faith. And Maria realized that she had not shared with anybody what had happened to her. And so she prayed and she said, God, I want to share what's happened to me. I'm going to share with somebody, Lord. I want to share. And she prayed. She said, before I go to bed tonight, Lord, I want to do this. She was determined to witness to somebody. And so she had about a 40-minute bus ride home from church. And she thought, well, on the bus, I'll get to witness to somebody. And she sat down, and no one sat near her. And she got home from the bus stop, and she went back to her home, and she was so disappointed. She said, God, I didn't get to witness to anybody. She walked in to her apartment, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, go to your telephone. Go to my telephone. So she went over to her telephone, and she's like, who do I call? Now, I don't recommend that you do this ever unless the Holy Spirit has to speak to you. Otherwise, it's totally weird. She picked up her phone book, closed her eyes, and put her finger down. Don't do that unless you got to hear from God. Don't do that. And she put her finger down on a page, on a name. It said Johnny Sousa. She dialed the number. Like, wow. After the sixth ring, a gruff voice answered, who is this? Well, poor Maurice is like, she didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to introduce herself. So she just started singing the song that she had heard at the crusade. She started singing, just as I am without one plea. And she sang the whole song through. She said, something changed in the man's voice. He said, please don't hang up. Please don't hang up. And I'll be right back. And a minute later, he came back on the line and he said, my wife Clara is standing right next to me and we're holding the telephone so we can both hear. Would you sing that song again? So she sang it again. And then she sang it three times to them. She just kept singing this song. And then she felt led. She shared, guess what? Her testimony of how she got saved, what the Lord did in her life. And then she said, would you two like to accept Jesus as your Savior? And they said, yes, we would. And she prayed with them over the phone to get saved. But that's not the end of it. Johnny told her afterward, he said, He and Clara had been married 7 years and they had had no children, but they had tried and tried. They desperately wanted a family and they could never have any kids. And their income was so low that within their government, they didn't have money to adopt. They wanted to adopt a child. They couldn't do it. Well, 6 months earlier, Johnny had lost his job and they were down to their last few cents, and the next day they were going to be evicted from their home. And they were so depressed that Johnny said, my wife and I got so desperate this morning that we took the last money we had, we went out, we bought some poison, and we decided we're going to take it and we'll die together, and that's it. And they mixed it up, they had their glasses right there, they were about to take a drink, and the phone rang. And the phone rang, and it was Maria. That's still not the end. Johnny went on after that. He got involved in a church, felt the call of God on his life, and he became a pastor. He became a pastor in an Assemblies of God church. He had a congregation in Santa Rosa, Brazil, that grew finally to over 30,000 members. Do you know what can happen if you pray and say, God, I want to share my testimony with somebody? Woo! How'd she like to be Maria? And now she witnessed to a guy who got saved and had a ministry of 30,000 people. How'd she like to be the person who witnessed to Billy Graham? Wouldn't that be cool? But can I tell you that the seed of the Word of God has unlimited potential, and every time that you share a little bit of the Word of God, what can it do? Oh, what can it do? Oh, my goodness. Oh, remember, and Adam, I'm going to have you just click one click at a time. Remember, the seed is the Word of God. Remember the parable of the sower? We had the productive and unproductive soil, but the seed is the Word of God. And I want to talk to you today about the power of the seed. The seed of the Word of God is mighty and powerful. The primary power in evangelism is not the messenger. It's the message. It's the Word. And you know what? We hear stories of mighty miracles, and we read about them in the Scripture, but you know what? No, a miracle never saved anybody. It's the Word that saves. It's the Word. Oh, I believe in miracles. I love miracles. I love it when God heals people. And in the Scriptures, we see that God used miracles that got people's attention, brought a crowd, wonderful things. And we love it when God meets people's needs like that. But what saves is the seed. It's the Word of God. That's the primary thing. The power is in the seed. Go ahead, Adam. Click one more time. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the word gospel, the good news, that word, that seed, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The power of God for everyone who believes is in the word. It's in the seed. Go ahead, Adam. So, I want to talk about the power of the seed, the power of the seed of the Word of God. Number one, the power of regeneration. What's the word? We see the word regeneration in the Scriptures, but the word regeneration is Greek, palingenesia. Palin means again, and genesia means birth or experience. It means to come alive again, to come into life again. So to be regenerated means to come back alive, maybe from a state that was not alive to a state that is alive. 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. So through that seed, that imperishable seed of the living, enduring Word of God, when someone puts their faith in it, their spirit comes alive. There's power in that seed. It is a powerful, powerful thing. Number two, the power of sanctification. There's that word. We've talked about it a lot, but the sanctification, becoming holy, becoming clean, becoming more like Jesus, growing in the life of Christ. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her, cleansing her, how? By the washing with water through the Word. What's the Word? There's that seed, that little seed. Do you know how much power is in a little seed? You plant it in the ground and stuff comes alive and grows out of it. It's just like that in the Spirit. And to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. How on earth does that happen? Aye, aye, aye. It's because God's Word confronts and exposes things in a person's life that need to get cut out or cleansed. That wonderful Word of God, God uses it to point out stuff. Have you had the Lord point out stuff to you? Oh, I don't like it, but it's so good. I don't like washing with lava soap either, you know, that really rough stuff. But that's what the Word of God is like. It's rough, but it's so good, it really cleans you up. Oh, it gets all the junk out, and it makes us more like Jesus. And sometimes it's hard, but is it worth it? Oh, the precious Word of God brings sanctification. Number three, power of transformation. That word transformed in the Greek is metamorpheo. It's where we get the word metamorphosis. You know how a butterfly completely changes from that caterpillar into what looks like a completely different creature? Power of transformation. When we come to Christ and that seed gets in us, thank God, we're not just saved, we get changed. Wouldn't it be awful to just be saved but never change? Oh, you would have liked me if I got saved but I never changed. But see, God, there's a transforming power. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. With what? Ooh, the Word of God. As you eat it, as you let it wash over you, then you will be able to test and approve what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Transformation. Number four, the power of multiplication. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground, you get a plant. When you plant the Word of God in the ground, what do you get? What does the Scripture say? Still other seed, we're back at the parable of the sower again, still other seed fell on good soil and produced a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Do you know the lowest return that God said he got on that seed was 30 times what was planted? And that's the smallest investment. How powerful is that seed? Oh, I want you to get a hold of this. Some of you in my heart, I'm hearing today, I'm hearing the Lord say, you have prayed for prodigals in your family or with friends around you, kids who grew up in the church, people who grew up in the church and had that seed of the Word of God planted in them, and then they grew up and off they went. But the seed is still there. Brothers and sisters, pray over that seed. Pray that God will breathe life into it. It is powerful. It's effective. It can bring regeneration. It can bring sanctification. It can bring transformation, multiplication. I have great faith in the seed of the Word of God. It is powerful, and there's life in it. And it's in them. You know how God spoke to the valley of dry bones? Who would have thought that a valley of dry bones would come to life? Dead bones laying there. But God spoke to them, and they rattled. There's a lot of good gospel songs about that. The bones rattling. And they came together, and then the flesh came, but there was no life in them. And what happened? God breathed. And they stood up. Do you know you can pray for God to breathe on that seed? Don't you give up. Don't you give up. God is at work in the prodigals. Oh, I just hear it, and I hear it, and I hear it. I believe when we see God begin to move in a mighty way, the wave that's going to come is the prodigals are going to come home. God is going to call prodigals back from their backsliding. And you know that if just the prodigals, the kids who left the church, came back, it'd be a tidal wave of the church. All the kids who left and abandoned their faith came back. Can you imagine the revival of just that? You pray. Hang on to that. Believe God for that seed to move in their life. Don't give up an inch. In due season, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give an inch. And when the devil tells you it'll never happen, you pray some more. Don't give up. The seed of the Word of God is mighty and powerful. And today I want to encourage you that God wants you to be a seed planter. And He wants you to be a seed waterer. And if you will pray for opportunities, He will give them to you. Colossians 4. Go ahead, Adam. Pray for opportunities to sow seed. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourself. All these emphases in italics are all mine, of course. But devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, as you pray also for us. Why? That God may open to us a door for the Word, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am chained. Pray that I may declare it clearly as I should. Act wisely toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Do you see from this scripture that evangelism begins with prayer? And as you pray, God is going to open up doors for you to share. Maybe just a little seed. But how valuable is a seed? Remember the mustard seed? I think I skipped over that in my thing. It was just a little tiny seed. But Jesus said it grows into this enormous plant that the birds of the air can come and rest in. Oh, glory to God. Pray for opportunities to sow seed. Go ahead, Adam. Ask God for divine opportunities. What's a divine opportunity? That sounds kind of weird. It's an opportunity where God plops you somewhere at just the right time for somebody who needs you. I shared this story about how I got a very inconvenient flat tire and had to go to the store, and somebody was looking all over for the Full Gospel Church. How does that happen? That's a divine appointment. It's just, that's the way it is. I was in the collegiate restaurant a couple years ago. Actually, it was with you guys, Curtis and Randy. We were there, and the waitress comes on over, and I can't remember what exactly was up with her, but she started to share with us. I think she had an injury, or I think it was her shoulder or something. And she was a single mom, and she was telling us about her kids, and then away she went, and I'm thinking, wow, we need to pray for this girl. She needs help. And she came over, and before it could come out of my mouth, Randy Corky, she was on the job. She goes, "Hey, can we pray for you?" You beat me to it. It was hilarious. She's like, "We want to pray for you." So they're in this full collegiate restaurant. The four of us are sitting there, and we started to pray over this girl. And we, God, heal her, touch her family, provide her needs. It was wonderful. And you know what? I have not seen this girl since. But the Lord had us there for that time to drop that seed. And I guarantee you, she's never going to forget those four crazy people that prayed for her in the collegiate restaurant. But God can give you those opportunities and drop you in just the right place. Go ahead, Adam. Remember, Jesus was at the well? That was a divine opportunity. He had a lot of reasons not to talk to that woman. He was really tired. It was really hot. God, I'm tired. I'm really hot. I'm really thirsty. I'm going to just rest for a while. And then here's this lady. And she's a woman and a Samaritan. He had a lot of reasons not to talk to her, but it was a divine opportunity. God can place you in just those right places. Go ahead, Adam. Remember, too, that it is a message of grace. When you share with people, make sure that you keep it a message of grace. You know, we have to talk about sin with people, because if they don't understand that they need to be saved from something, how do they ask God to forgive them? You know, it just doesn't work. But it's a message of grace. So, and remember that we're not just inviting them to join a group of nice people with higher than average morals. Yes, come and be with us. We're wonderful. We're challenging them to change their kingdom allegiance. We're asking them to move from darkness to light. That means they got to let go of something. And you can't get light if your hands are full of darkness. If it's got the sin of the world, you have to release it. But the issue of sin, even though it has to be addressed, it still needs to be addressed in the context of Jesus' forgiveness, Jesus' grace, His death, His resurrection, so that you can have life. Rather than just tell somebody, you know, you're in sin and you're going to hell. It might be true, but tell them about Jesus. Tell them about that there's, and most people understand that they've done things wrong in their life. God's put a conscience in us. They don't always get that maybe they've sinned against God, but they know they've sinned against other people. And you know, but talk to them about redeeming grace, amazing grace. That's where we're at. Go ahead, Adam. So I got ahead of myself a little bit. Communicate grace. Number two, have a gracious manner. And I can't overemphasize that. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Act wisely toward outsiders, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I had to go to the lumber yard the other day, and I went in the store, needed a 2x4. I was doing a project. And I paid for it, and then you go out to the yard, you drive your car out there, and then you usually sit and wait until somebody finally notices you're there and lumbers out. Well, what do you need? And you give them the slip. Well, I went over, and there's this kid out there, and he's running around, and he's waiting on this Amish guy, and he's going down the list, and he's here, and he's there. And then my turn in line, and he came running up, and he goes, "Hi, what can I do for you today?" And I said, "Well, I need a 2x4, and he looks at me and he goes, I'm going to go and I'm going to get it and I'll bring it right to your car. So off he went, smiling and happy, and he started going through the pile and he's looking at them. He's checking them all. He finally gets one. He brings it to me. He says, "I found you the straightest one I could find." You know, sometimes they're a little warped. "I found you the best, straightest one I could." And I said, "Well, thank you." And I took it and I put it in my car, and he goes, "Sir, is there anything else that I can do for you today?" And I said, "No, that's great." And he goes, "Well, have a great day. Thanks for coming." And I'm looking at him, because I'm not used to this treatment. You know, usually they're okay, and then I got in my car and he walked over and I started pull out and I passed him and he looked at me and he went, and he gives me a big smile. Well, I pulled around. I went back inside the store, and I said, "You know this kid you got working out there? You need to keep him forever. He is awesome. It made me want to come back." Do you know, if our speech is seasoned with grace, and we're like that, how attractive is the gospel going to be? It's so important. And he wasn't trying to preach the gospel to me. He just was giving me a 2x4. Surely we can be those people too. Glory to God. Gracious acts. Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Doesn't mean you go out and show off. But gracious acts touch people's hearts. It does. They do. Albert Kelly's was a man who lived in Wisconsin, and he was outside a bar one night, got drunk, and he got into a fight with another guy, and he beat the man, and he beat him and beat him and he beat him to death. He killed the man. He killed him. Police came, took him off, arrested him, took him away. He was convicted for manslaughter and sentenced and thrown in jail. When the report came out in the newspaper, it listed his crime, but then it listed that he had a wife and 6 children. A pastor there in Wisconsin saw the article, and he went to the woman's house. He did not preach the gospel to her. He did not even invite her to church. He brought 2 big boxes of groceries. And then the church started to do it. They started bringing her groceries and groceries and groceries and blessed this woman. She and her children eventually came to church. All of them accepted Christ. Their oldest son, Bruce, accepted Christ and started to have a burden for his dad. So he started to go and visit his dad in prison faithfully, as often as he could, for years. Albert, through the witness of his son, accepted Christ. When he got out of jail a few years later, Albert died in a hotel fire. But he died going into the fire, and he rescued another man from the flames. Here's a man who, before Christ, beat a man to death. And then because of a gracious act to his family, in the end of his life, he died rescuing somebody else from the flames. Do you see the transforming power of God? How did it happen? Somebody got a burden for his family and did a gracious act. Now, I do believe in blessing people, but it's important at some point to do it in Jesus' name. You know, we can do kind things, but they don't have any eternal value unless we somehow find a way to attach the gospel to it. But he was very sensitive to this woman's needs, and he just began to meet him. I think he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. But gracious acts. Do you see how God can use that? Wow, we're way over time today, but it's all been worth it. And who knows how long we'll continue to talk about evangelism, but I hope that it challenges you to know that when you share the seed, it's powerful and effective. Father, I pray that you give us a really big bag, Lord. Father, I want a big bag, Lord. And God, sometimes it's really scary to talk to people about Jesus, but Lord, it's worth every seed that we get to sow. God, we pray that you would help us. Lord, we're praying that you would give us divine appointments, that you'd put us in the right place at the right time, in the right season, to speak to somebody, just like Maria, her heart was to share, and God just used her. Father, how that pastor was in the right place at the right time and could bless a woman and her family in need, Lord, and how you used those seeds to bring life. Father, give us grace to be sowers. Help us to sow lots of seed, Father, to bring the Word of God to people so that they can find life in Jesus Christ. Lord, and we know that your Word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you send it forth to do, just as you said in the prophets, Lord. Your Word will accomplish what you send it forth to do. And we trust you for it. Father, help us to be sowers. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, you have a need in your body or in your heart or spirit, we would love to pray for you. And we believe and have seen miracles because we serve a miracle-working God. If you have needs, we would love to pray for you today. Otherwise, God bless you. Enjoy a beautiful Sunday. Amen. God bless. Thank you.